What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am Dave Smith, and he is Robbie the Fire Bernstein. All technical issues figured out. We got Rob back, and that's what really matters. How are you doing today, sir?
Refreshed, you know? I got the day off yesterday. I was able to eat some donuts, take a nap, and I feel like a whole new me. That's like going there to the spa, baby.
There you go. Get that Phoenix stink off of you. I did say yesterday, we had a great time out there. And our next gig together, both me and Rob, will be in Toronto. First time, I think, that we've done stand-up together in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, which is a great comedy town, and I've not been there for years. So really looking forward to that. June 5th, one night only, at the Parkdale Hall. It's a beautiful theater out there in Toronto. Two shows June 5th, and then June 18th, 19th, 20th, we will be at Comedy Works. First, the Comedy Works South in Glenwood Village on June 18th. Then June 19th and 20th, the Comedy Works Downtown, which just a legendary weekend that we had last year. Every show was sold out last year, so hoping to do that again. Grab tickets now if you want to come out, because that is a hot market. They move fast. So comicdavesmith.com for all those tickets. And Rob, your portion, I believe.
Oh, I got a busy weekend. I got Bridgeport, Connecticut on Thursday night, Astoria. No, I'm sorry. That's Friday night, Astoria, New York, Saturday night. Definitely going to go with my pizza guy afterwards. Haven't been there forever.
Hell yeah.
Old Saybrook, Connecticut on Sunday, and then Washington, D.C., Burdett, New York, Byron, Michigan, and more coming your way. Dates are at robbernstincomedy.com, and you can still submit your porch at thefiretix.com. Getting busy.
Rob's going to get some delicious Astoria pizza and then sit on a toilet for 24 hours.
Well, I won't actually eat the pizza there, but my pizza guy, Leo, he's the man.
Very good, very good. All right, so let's get into it, because there's a lot to talk about. This is it, you know, listen, obviously nothing has changed. This war is a catastrophe, but man, this has been a bad 24 hours, Rob. Like everything that's happened since I've recorded yesterday has just been a bad sign after a bad sign. Donald Trump is in full, you know, he's just a drunk, crazy bitch at this point. I don't know what to say. This is what I've been saying on stage. It's just he is conducting this war like a drunk woman. But essentially, let's try to kind of catch up to speed here. But so basically, after all this talk about how we were very close to a deal, and at one point, if you remember, a week and a half ago, he just said, we have a deal, and we're getting all the enriched uranium. They get nothing for it, and we get... So Donald Trump has been openly basically saying he's going to get the Iranians to capitulate. We have been regularly, you know, talking on this show about how they are saying we're not doing that. Very clearly, that is their position. Today, Donald Trump, I mean, he doesn't admit that, but he acts like it's them who's at, but essentially they sent back their proposal. Donald Trump said he didn't even finish reading it. It was dead on arrival, that he now is saying the ceasefire is on life support, that there's a 1% chance the ceasefire holds. So I don't know, you know, if Donald Trump actually is going to go back to dropping bombs, but certainly went in a bad direction from just where it was yesterday.
Yep. Well, you know, it's quite the turnaround. Usually it's 24 hours till Donald Trump completely changes his mind, but they were really trying to sell the story last week of, we got a deal in the works. The thing that stuck out to me, I once read this book. It was really good. It was called Dealing with People You Can't Stand. And it was just like different strategies for different kinds of people. And one of the archetypes was a tank. And basically with the tank, you just want to slow it down. And I feel like that's so what the Iranians are doing, is that they know that Donald Trump, he just comes in full force, all the bluster in the world. And you just want to slow those people down because they kind of get bored and move on. And I think that's the slower that this can go, and the more it gets close to the midterms, and the more that there's costs. I mean, I guess you might get chaotic Donald Trump who just starts bombing them into oblivion, but the slowing Donald Trump down strategy definitely works, and it drives Trump nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's no question about that. But it's, you know, look, it's, well, so, okay. So essentially what was reported was that right, Iran basically sent them a deal, and the Donald Trump was but like, was, okay, this is
it garbage. Sounds like it was the exact same deal that they had offered beforehand,
what it sounds like.
Which was, let's have a permanent end to the war and we can discuss the nuclear thing at another time.
You stole the words from my mouth. It seems like, we don't know exactly. We didn't see exactly what they sent, but they said that basically they outright rejected Trump's deal. That was very clearly reported, that they just rejected Trump's deal. Like, then they said Trump's deal would essentially be a surrender to Donald Trump. We are not prepared to surrender. We're not doing that. And we offer you our deal. My guess is pretty much very similar to the 10-point plan, very similar to what their demands have been all along, which is, it's like essentially that we get like some type of like non-aggression pact. Like, we promise not to attack them again. They were for a while. I doubt they're still hanging on to the reparations for the war thing, because if you remember, they had already backed off that, where they said that charging fees for the Strait of Hormuz could serve as that. But look, they're like, sanctions relief and stop the war, and we'll figure out what we do with the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, they've declared that Iranian territory now, and you know, who knows what the but anyway. So yeah, I mean, it's just, what can you say, dude? This war has just turned into such a goddamn disaster. Every single move was wrong, then including the worst one of all, which was just launching the thing. And you know, I do still, I'd say this is like, I don't know if you've read Professor Pape at all. He writes about the escalation trap. I still don't think I agree with his prediction. You know, he's like, this is going to escalate until there's boots on the ground. I just think the realities of that are. I think Donald Trump quits and tries to spin this as a win, even though it doesn't work before he actually does that. Now, whether he lights him up from the sky again, that is a little bit more debatable. But I don't know. It's tough to make predictions. There's so many variables. I do think ultimately, eventually he quits this, because he really is, you know, dude. I remember literally, I learned what the term escalation dominance meant when I read about the Pentagon saying that we don't have escalation dominance in Iran, and in 2007 or whatever this was, 2008 maybe. And there's just something, you know, I was like, oh, what do they mean by that? We don't have escalation dominance. And the idea of escalation dominance is that, like, no matter what they do, you can always overwhelm them. So if they do this, then we do that. And if they do this, then we do that. And you could really see where, like, you're like, oh, yeah, look, I'm not no military expert, but you could see how you're like, oh, yeah, that really is the difference between these wars and all the other wars that I've watched, is that it's like, oh, they're making moves that, like, fuck, we don't have a move for that. Like, at this point, it's like you're pinned into, okay, even the going back to an air campaign, it's all come out now, Rob. They still got a huge pile of intercontinental ballistic missiles that, like, according to literally just pieces in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and the Washington Post, the CIA has confirmed this, that, like, it's, they have you. So then we're right back in a situation like, I don't know, dude, they may really light some shit up themselves. We're pinned. What can we do? We can't open the strait. We can't get them to, we can't get the regime to capitulate. What other move here is there than to just quit? And so I do still think, like, there's got to be a decent chance that he ends up doing that. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's more likely that he bombs the shit out of them and does something that we all think is terrible than he just blatantly walks away with absolutely nothing. And I think part of that is just the Israeli pressure and influence that, Donald Trump seems to be beholden to for unknown reasons.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Maybe you're right about that.
I mean, I can't anyway, say I wanna... for sure, but I'm just saying if I had to guess what's more likely, I think Donald Trump walking away without, you know, at least the nuclear option off the table, which was more easily addressed before the war started. I don't see him just walking away, and I see him the more likely to commit war crimes.
You know, the problem is, the real problem we have right now, and oh God, it's out of like a Greek tragedy or something like that, is just that, like, if Donald Trump's coalition was salvageable, if his presidency was salvageable, there would at least be a much stronger incentive to end this thing. But because it's so clearly not, you just don't have that incentive. You know, you don't have the, like, you'll get Tucker Carlson back on your side if you go do this. It's like, nah, dude, you're way past that. You're not, like, and I mean, look, dude, that the fucking, I don't know if you saw the monthly inflation number that just dropped. That ended Trump's presidency, dude. That's it. He just got fucking destroyed. And it's not over. It's just like, yo, dude, you literally got up and said publicly that I know what I'm doing is causing this, but I'm willing to accept that. I'm willing to do a thing over here. And yeah, you guys got to pay slightly higher prices. You're like, okay, well, that's the opposite of what you ran on very clearly. And so, like, it's a real problem now that we don't have that incentive. He knows there's nothing but, like, there's nothing but failure behind door number one, which is to pull out, which is true. There's nothing but failure behind pulling out, but it's still our best option. And so if he's looking at that, he's like, he's got to imagine that there could be something better behind door number two. Like, he's got to imagine there's a way he can pull this off. And, you know, is that great Bill Burr joke about Arnold Schwarzenegger? You know what I'm talking about?
I do not know this joke.
It's like, basically, his joke is about how they're like, how could Arnold Schwarzenegger have the audacity to try to sleep with his maid? And he's like, look at what this guy pulled off. He's on fire. Blah, blah, blah. It's a great bit. But so anyway, it's kind of like that. Like, who's anyone to convince Donald Trump at this point in his life that he can't pull some shit off? You know? And I'll think about it. The guy's been pulling crazy shit off his entire life. So listen, I'm definitely very concerned about that possibility. So go
on
ahead.
That note of Trump holding out hope, he also does not care about the Republican Party. He does not care about who runs after him. He does not care what happens once he's gone. And so I think you're right that the strategic move of maybe salvaging his coalition or salvaging the party for whoever's coming next is not his concern. And so in that regards, he is playing for keeps. And I think that this one is just beyond his skill set. He's used to maximum aggression. You either get a win or you just walk away cleanly and pretend like nothing happened. And there's no way to do either here.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems so. All right. So I want to get into some of the Donald Trump clips because he spoke yesterday and it's quite insane. I just wanted to mention before that, because we talked briefly before the show about this, but pretty, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. A very surprising, I guess, turn of events that Robert Kagan, who, if anybody doesn't know who Robert Kagan is, he is like one of the, he must be in the top few living neoconservatives, like in terms of ranking. Now, Robert Kagan was one of the original founders of the Project for a New American Century. He worked in the George W. Bush government, one of the most high-ranking neocons out there. And of course, one of the architects and cheerleaders of the war in Iraq. And he wrote this piece for The Atlantic, and it's titled Checkmate in Iran. Washington can't reverse or control the consequences of losing this war, by Robert Kagan. I just want to read, like, the first paragraph.
Can I just give the short, without having read the article or knowing what Robert mm-hmm. Kagan is, but mm-hmm. I know that these guys are sitting around going, listen, you want wars that are expensive that you can win so that you run profits to the military-industrial complex. Wars that you can lose that you stock trade against, that's not the way this thing is supposed to work. They're like, we never envisioned this level of corruption.
Not that far off. But it is, by the way, Robert Kagan, I should have mentioned that Robert Kagan is Victoria Nuland's husband. So if you remember Victoria Nuland, the one who was instrumental in causing the wonderful situation between Ukraine and Russia, that winning track record, the husband, do you imagine a married couple where the husband did Iraq and the wife did Ukraine? Goddamn amount of human devastation that was created from this one bedroom. Anyway, okay, so here's the piece. It's hard to think of a time when the United States suffered a total defeat in a conflict. a setback so decisive that the strategic loss could be neither repaired nor ignored. The calamitous losses suffered at Pearl Harbor, the Philippines, and throughout the Western Pacific in the first months of World War II were eventually reversed. The defeats in Vietnam and Afghanistan were costly, but did not do lasting damage to America's overall position in the world because they were far from the main theaters of global competition. The initial failure in Iraq was mitigated by a shift in strategy that ultimately left Iraq relatively stable and unthreatening to its neighbors and kept the United States dominant in the region. And he goes on to say that this is the only one where we just cannot roll back the losses from this, and it's going to result in us being in a much worse place in the region and Iran being a global power. So in other words, Robert Kagan is admitting what we've been saying this whole time. But it's kind of interesting to see Robert Kagan acknowledging that. Now, I know it's like, even in a moment like this, you still want to wring his neck as he's writing it. Because there is, like, he's correct in a literal sense. Like, what I just read you is factually correct. It is true that, like, we suffered huge. Iraq was very costly. But at the end of Iraq, there was still an Iraq there. And he's right. It wasn't a threat to its neighbors. And he's right that our standing in the Middle East wasn't changed. We were still the dominant force with bases all throughout the region, including in Iraq. You know, like we were still running the show. Now, there's something about the guy who was responsible for the war that cost $2 trillion and got a million people killed. Making that point is like a little bit infuriating because it's like, yeah, but there were a million people who got killed in that thing, dude, including thousands, tens of thousands, if you count the suicides they committed after they left the thing, of our young boys. So like, you know, how are you writing about foreign policy still? Like, I don't know, Rob. I've always had this attitude. You have to go away after that, right? It's insane that you, but anyway, but even some of these guys, you know, and the neocons, they wanted this war for the longest time. You know, they were all the ones who were cheerleading a war with Iran. It's interesting to see even them recognize the reality. You know, it's been, this war, I feel like, has moved quick in a lot of ways. It has not been going on for very long. And yet already, it feels like some sped up version of how things usually are. Like, usually the way things go, Rob, is that like me and you in real time are saying like lockdowns are bullshit. And then like a year and a half later, everybody's coming around to admitting it. Or the week of Hunter Biden's laptop going out, me and you are out here like, yo, this is Hunter Biden's laptop. This has nothing to do with Russia. And then like a year and a half later, the New York Times is admitting it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that's the natural cycle. In this case, it was like, oh, 4 weeks ago, me and you were staking out this position, and now the New York Times and the Washington Post, and now even like the neoconservatives are just admitting what's obvious right here. I mean, look, we're, as like we said at the beginning, Donald Trump admit, we're at square one. We're not at square one. We're at square negative 50, because we're worse than at square one. We've achieved none of the war goals. Have this whole new major problem that threatens the global economy and no means by which to solve any of this. So anyway, I thought that was worth mentioning. You want to, any thoughts, Rob, or you want to jump into some of these Trump clips?
Let's jump into the Trump clips.
Let's go. You can just play them in the order that I sent them to you, Natalie. So here was Donald Trump had, he was doing some health related thing. But then he took questions from the press and then said he had to leave because the generals were waiting on him. But he had some nuggets in there. So let's take a look.
Can you tell us anything about that proposal and what, if any, effort was just made to break the stick?
Yeah, it was just unacceptable. You know, a lot of people said, well, does he have a plan? Yeah, of course they do have. I have the best plan ever. I mean, Iran has been defeated militarily, totally. They have a little left. They probably built up during this period of time. We'll knock that out in about a day. But I have a plan. You know what it is? A very simple plan. I don't know why you don't say it like it is. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. They're very dangerous. They're very volatile. It's a terrible thing that's happened over there. They've killed.
Can you tell us anything about that?
All right. So this was actually a very revealing clip because I think it actually gets to what the real problem with Donald Trump's plan is that he does not seem to know what a plan is. Like, he goes, here's my plan. It's very simple. Iraq cannot have nuclear weapons. Like, sir, are you under the impression that that's a plan? That's a sentence. It's not a plan. The plan would be, how do you prevent them from that?
Well,
so far, your plan has been to slaughter a bunch of people, devastate the global economy, and incentivize them to make a nuke more. That's not a good plan.
You could use a donut day yourself, but you meant Iran can't get a nuclear bomb. But, I'm sorry. You know, it's easy to confuse.
What did I say?
Iraq. No, not a big one. You know, but just in case people got confused. Because we already spent 20 years in Iraq, so I guess we handled that problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking of a different war that we started over a fake nuclear threat. There's only one letter off.
Yeah. All right. Greatest plan ever. Cool. Because everything you've done seems to be going horribly. Is that part of this greatest plan ever? Is this all going according to plan? Because it seems like you're in a real mess. Is that the way your plan works, Donald Trump?
So the plan was to have Iran send an agreement that you didn't even finish reading and threw in the trash. That was your plan. Okay. Things are going right according to plan. And this stuff, man,
we're up to ATHS. It's just it's in a different realm of reality. So you and I can't comprehend it.
Yep. Yep. And look, man, it's also there are certain things that are a little bit unclear in this war. Now, according to reporting, and this has been reported this was reported in the New York Times and in the Washington Post and in the Wall Street Journal. But it seems like it wasn't like there'd be pieces about it, but it just then it doesn't like become part of the daily talking points. But evidently, dude, our bases over there have been devastated. Like, they're essentially all unusable at this point. And Israel, as you know, Rob, has kept a very tight lid on exactly how much Iran hit them or how many people died or how much was destroyed. There were videos that came out that showed, like, buildings had been hit. I mean, Israel got bombed heavily in this war. And that might also have something to do with why we very quickly transitioned into a military blockade away from bombing campaigns with a very temporary, very, you know, weak ceasefire. But, you know, Donald Trump wants to keep going down this like, oh, dude, they're devastated. We're awesome. And it's like, all right, but that doesn't just devastating them doesn't mean anything. You get 0 points for just killing people. What have you achieved from any of that?
Iran not having a nuclear bomb was a pretty easy agenda. All you had to do was not bomb them and actually make a deal. The thing that you claim you're so great at and love doing.
Well, it's just too obvious, I think, to anybody paying attention. And this is why, like, you know, obviously, like, at least as of now, and that's the big as of now, because like you said, he might go back to bombing them and they might go back. And this is what happens in a lot of these wars. You know, this happened in Vietnam. It's like presidents get their back up against the wall and then they're like, all right, let me just do one more escalation. And before you know it, we're joining it. Now, the reason why things are different here is because it's not, there aren't boots on the ground, and that does change things a little bit, or a lot. But it's this war was supposed to be weeks, not months, you know, and it's, you could see the thing escalating and playing out. But anyway, the war, like, as Kagan points out, I mean, it's just, this has been such a disaster, and it's so obvious, and it was so clearly foolish to launch this thing. You know, it's like you play, you know, the thing that, if you remember, Rob, before the 12-day war, I kept saying this risks catastrophe. And then all of the, you know, hawks would be like, ha ha, catastrophe didn't come. And then my response was like, hey, dude, you could play Russian roulette and not blow your brains out. That doesn't mean that wasn't a hell of a risky thing. And it's like, and I'm saying, like, you risk catastrophe when you do these things. And oh, you guys kept fucking around and you got it. Congratulations. You got the catastrophe that you kept insisting we risk. And it's just obvious for anyone to see, dude, that if you just want to live, all you want is to live in a world where Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons and the Strait of Hormuz is open. That was the fucking world we lived in, man. And it's just so full of shit. This whole war, how anyone can support it is just beyond me. Okay, anyway, let's go to the next Donald Trump clip being a crazy drunk bitch.
to me, just to put it on the record, they said to me, there are only two countries in the entire world that could ever get that stuff out of there because we don't have the equipment and nobody else. They said China and the United States. So I just want to let you know, those pilots did an unbelievable job, very dangerous job, at 1 o'clock in the morning. Think of it. No moon, no nothing. We had no light, purposely. And every single one of those bombs went right down an air chute in a granite mountain and exploded. And they are unable to get it, even if they wanted to. But we're not going to take a chance. So that's part of the deal.
So, sir, are you saying that they agreed to allow the removal of all their Christian people?
Well, they did 2 days ago. They didn't. Okay. They did 2 days ago. They said, you're going to have to take it. We were going to go with them. But they changed their mind because they didn't put it in the paper. So when they sent us this document that we waited 4 days for, that should have taken 10 minutes to do, it looked very simple. We get that. They guarantee no nuclear weapons for a very long period of time and a couple of other minor things, but they just can't get there. So they agree with us and then they take it back. But they said to us that it was so badly obliterated, was the word they actually used. That was my original word. Then it got challenged by some of the fake news. And it wasn't challenged with any knowledge. It was just challenged like they were hoping that this wouldn't have been so successful. No, it was obliterated. We have the greatest military in the world. I built it largely in my first term, and I didn't know I'd be using it quite this much in my second term. But very simply, when they say, does he have a plan? Yeah, I have a plan. The plan is very simple. You know, in war, you have to change. You have to be flexible. You have a lot of plans, but you have to do different plans in different days. But I have a great plan. But the plan is they cannot have a nuclear weapon. And they didn't say that in their letter.
Okay, again, he just struggles with the concept of what a plan is. Look, I mean, what can you say here about this rambling? And there's more that he goes off on this. But he's just, look, man, I'll just say this. It is not, I try not to make claims that I don't know as definitive claims. Like, it is possible that someone from Iran told him or someone in his inner circle told him that they're talking to people who are going to do this. I'll just say, there is not a shred of evidence that this is anything other than Donald Trump just making this up. It makes absolutely no sense that a couple of days ago, Iran was saying you can come in and take this enriched uranium when they've just been so clear throughout the entire time that this is not. Dude, they put out, one of their leaders today put out a statement about how they might go to weapons grade uranium. You know, Donald Trump attacks us again, we might break out, try to get a bomb. That's what they're saying. If we might use that enriched uranium and enrich it further. They're not saying we're going to hand it over to you. I don't know. It's just, this seems very much like something Donald Trump is just making up. And for him to even say, you know, well, they said one thing and then they did another. You're like, dude, you've started two wars with this country while negotiating with them. You know, you can't come around and go, these guys really fucking negotiate like assholes. I just, what can you say, Rob?
I have a perfect, flawless plan, which is why I'm changing my plan. Perfect plans need changes. I can't tell you what the plan is. And then also, he's lying because, you know, they keep saying Iran just can't have a nuke, which I still think you can come to an agreement on that. The problem is when you say zero nuclear enrichment, which is basically saying you cannot be your own country. You have to placate to our every demand. And guess what? We haven't defeated them in a war where you're going to get absolute surrender. So even here when he goes, firstly, he's not using the word plan correctly, as you showcased. He's just saying we have a plan, which is they can't get a nuclear bomb. That's not a plan. That's a goal. And can you achieve that goal? And the answer is yes, if you're actually reasonable and you drop the zero nuclear enrichment and you realize, oh, we've are not winning this war. We don't want to commit war crimes and bomb the country into oblivion. So I guess we have to actually make a fair deal, which includes allowing for nuclear enrichment. So he's also just lying on that point.
Yep. No, 100%. He's lying on all of it because we had an Iran without nuclear weapons all along. I mean, it's just, I don't know, dude. Like, I hope, which is not impossible, I hope Donald Trump just, like, maybe for health reasons or something, just has to step down. Like, I'm not saying, like, I wish the illness on him. I don't care. But it's just like, this thing has so jumped the shark, man. It's just like boring and stupid. And it's not even like, I don't know. Maybe this is, I know I've been saying this for like a year now. Maybe it's just my perception, but it's just like the Trump charm is so gone. It's just, it's not funny anymore. It's not fun. It's like, at this point, it's like, it kind of felt like for a decade, Donald Trump was this huge middle finger to the establishment, you know? Like, oh, dude, Donald Trump has all of us laughing at Rachel Maddow or Rosie O'Donnell or CNN or whatever it is. And now it's like, oh, the joke's on us. The joke's all just on us. It just like this, it feels like Donald Trump leaves a room, breaks character. He's not Donald Trump at all. He's some other person. And he goes, dude, these fucking retards will buy anything. Look what I can fucking say. Like, it's like the joke is on us that he's even, this is, I'll just sit here and tell you how great my plan is, how much we're winning, how, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. We got the Trumpic, you know, it was kind of fun and funny. But yeah, that's when he didn't actually have the power to go start wars that we shouldn't be fighting in. And really just speaks to the fact that, you know, the president shouldn't be able to just declare these wars. And if we actually had a constitution and a Congress, then, you know, we could have elections that weren't so devastating where single crazy individuals can ruin this country in this way.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And it's a, you know, even when he says there, he goes, I spent my first term rebuilding this military. I didn't think I'd be using it quite so much in my second term. And you're like, well, you did run on no new wars. You know, you did promise not to just use it a bunch for no reason. All right, let's go to the next clip.
Simple plan. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and they won't have a nuclear weapon. And they didn't want to go that far.
Does that mean the president agree with
Iran? You can believe it. They didn't. How stupid. Are they stupid people? They didn't want to believe it. They think that, well, I'll get tired of this, or I'll get bored, or I'll have some pressure. But there's no pressure. There's no pressure at all. We're going to have a complete victory. We've already, in theory, had a complete victory from the military standpoint. The military, look, their Navy is dead. They have 150, they had 159 ships. Right now they have zero, other than the little speedboats that go around that got taken out 8 a day by us. It's very simple.
It's, you know, it's, Donald Trump kind of lies like a four-year-old. Like, I have a four-year-old. They'll give it away with their lies. You know what I mean? Like, if I say you can have one cookie and my son like sneaks two cookies, he'll come and say, I didn't have two cookies. And you're like, I think I know exactly what you did. It's almost like the same feeling when Donald Trump goes, there's no pressure. They think I'm under pressure. I'm not under, there's nothing at all. It's like, dude, you're right now, Donald Trump's getting ready to go meet with Xi. And he's under enormous pressure right now to stop doing this. They're furious about what's going on. Dude, inflation is at 3.5%. He's getting crushed right now. His party's about to lose the House in the midterms for sure, perhaps even the Senate. His approval numbers are in the gutter, and the world economy is hanging in the balance. And he's going to sit here and say there's no pressure as he's clearly desperately trying to get a deal that he can't get. I don't know, Rob. I'm not really buying it.
Greatest plan ever. You know, I think we can look forward to an entirely changed agenda tomorrow and more buffoonish lies. I mean, last week was so outrageous. They really pretended like we were coming close to having a deal. And then already this week, I absolutely can't accept those terms. And actually, nothing has been negotiated.
Nothing's worked out.
We're back to square one. And I guess the latest intelligence is that Iran can, you know, it's 3 or 4 months before they're having severe economic problems. Possibly they can go longer. And that, you know, I guess they retained a lot more of their missile capability than Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth was telling us. So, you know, Donald Trump either has to decide, hey, it's time to bomb them into oblivion or walk away. And doesn't seem to want to make either decision.
Yeah. And, you know, as we've pointed out, every time he threatens them, they threaten back with the region. you know, they threatened back that they're going to really do some severe damage. And so I think there's good reason why he's hesitant to pull that trigger. Obviously, it's the catastrophically wrong move. But yeah, we will see. There, because there you go. It really is a binary, at least to some degree, right? It's that he can't accept this. But the only other option is doing that. And yeah, man, let's really hope that he ends up doing this. Like I said, it's not looking great. I mean, his signal here is not, he's not trying to spin it like, oh, okay, well, I think maybe we can work out an agreement, or maybe we're there. It's like, no, dude, I can't accept this. So we will see.
And, here, let's and go. Still, the option is still on the table to break up with Israel and make nice with Iran, but that seems to be the least likely of the options for unknown reasons.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly right. And Miriam Madelson won't tell you what those reasons are herself, right? If you recall, we played that old clip on the Members Only episode the other day, but where Miriam Madelson is asked. It was Tom Woods, the great Tom Woods, had mentioned it on a show. And I was like, wait, I forgot about that one. And then, yeah, where she was asked, what other than cutting checks, like, how do you influence politicians? And she goes, I'd rather not say. So I can be honest with you, I'd rather not answer that question. I'm like, Jesus. Yeah. Well, that doesn't exactly calm any of our concerns. Okay. Let's go to this next clip. And then also, I think we'll have time for this because I think there's a couple more Trump clips. But then also, I do want to play that AOC clip if we have time, which Natalie Robb had emailed that one to us. But let's first go to this next clip. This is, I believe this is the one where Donald Trump is commenting on Iran's negotiating practices, which is something.
Do you believe a diplomatic solution is possible with Iran, or do you only have military options?
Like no, I think it's very possible. Look, I've had to deal with them 4 or 5 times. They change their mind. They're very dishonorable people, the leadership. Don't forget it's a third level. The first level is God. They were unreasonable. The second level is more reasonable. The third level, nobody wants to be president, you know? They say, who wants to be president? There's nobody raises their hand. You know? But we're, they change their mind. I've had that in business many times. You know, the mind changes, you call it. These people that you make a deal, and then the next day they send you a document that takes 5 days to get there when it should have been there in 20 minutes. You know, it's a pretty simple document. They will never have a nuclear weapon, yeah?
Okay. It's all he's got is just repeating the same story. Look, Rob, the nerve of Donald Trump to ever utter the word dishonorable about another person. Just that for him to ever say that word out loud. Dude, Donald Trump has cheated on his wives. Donald Trump denigrated Joe Kent for getting remarried 1.5 years after his wife died while serving Donald Trump. His wife died in a suicide bombing in Syria. She was working for the CIA, I believe, if I have that correct. She was working for the CIA. She got killed in a suicide bomb in Syria under President Trump in the first term. She's dead because Donald Trump didn't end the war in Syria that he promised to. She's dead because he had her there. And then he denigrated Joe Kent for getting remarried almost 2 years later. Like, dude, I don't know. I think I said this at the time. I don't know what the appropriate amount of time is to get remarried. I don't know if getting remarried. I don't think I would get remarried if I lost my wife. But like, I don't know. You know, I've never been in that situation. But first of all, the nerve of anyone to like publicly speak out against that, like it's any of your fucking business. But dude, when she died on your watch, was serving you the commander in chief in a war of choice that you had us involved in for no reason. Like, man, I mean, you should burn in hell for saying that. Literally, no exaggeration. Like if anything, you should burn in hell for sending someone's wife to die and then publicly mocking the guy for getting remarried. I just don't. Dishonorable. Dude, you fucking bombed them and slaughtered them. You killed 168 little schoolgirls, dude, the day after you were in open negotiations with them. but they're dishonorable. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anything particularly honorable about the Iranian regime, but the nerve of Donald Trump to make that comment, just fucking delusional. This is like a delusional, disgusting, simple man.
And lying once again, because the latest reporting is that the Ayatollah's son is alive and well, and I guess involved in decision making, and not as injured as had been previously claimed. Also, I mean, we've seen Donald Trump many times now just float that the Iranians had already agreed to something that they hadn't agreed to, which I'm sure is Donald Trump's business practice, is going, yeah, all the details are worked out. This is the deal. And then sure, yeah, when the document comes from the other team, it doesn't reflect his wishes of what he claimed was a closed deal.
No, that's right. No, I mean, Donald Trump has lied every day into this war. Every day, every time he opens his mouth, he tells some new lie. And then when his lie is exposed, when they get it all right, it's like what all of them do, all the war hawks, you know, they sit there and they go, ah, we got this deal. A week later, it's revealed that we were completely right when we said you don't have a deal. And they go, that's because they broke the deal, whatever. They just find a way to blame anybody else. And every single prediction is wrong. It's unbelievable. It always happens with these wars. And they always, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I make predictions every now and then, but I'm not like big into making predictions. I think I get the policy correct is like what I pride myself on. But these guys, all they do is just super confident predictions. This will happen, then this will happen, then this will happen. And none of that happens. Then they go, well, it's that guy's fault that none of that happened. That's why we got to do this. And then this will happen and this will happen. None of that. This is where it started with. We'll take out the Ayatollah. The regime will fall. The people will take over. They'll be friends with us. Iran will be a liberal democracy. All right. Well, we're here. Instead, they just did everything that all of us said they would do. Hit our bases, close the Strait of Hormuz. And now we're fucked. I mean, I don't know, man. Donald Trump might very well end this year in the 20s approval rating. I think he's got another 10 points he could drop from where he is here. Because as I mentioned before, Rob, he still really has the fact that there's a whole lot of Trump supporters. They're outside. These aren't podcast listeners and stuff like that. I think he's lost that world. But there's Trump supporters out there who like, they didn't really like this. But they haven't like, they don't have the same type of like principled objection to it that like I have. So they're not like, y'all, I'm turned on you. I'm disgusted by you. This is horrible. It's more just like, we're getting in another war. All right. He says it'll be quick and it'll be short and it'll work. And when it's revealed, like when it is clear to them that it's just an utter disaster, I think he's got another 10 points he can fall. So we'll see. Okay, here we got one more, I believe one more Donald Trump clip. Is that right, Natalie? And then we'll do the AOC one if we got time. Two more Donald Trumps. We may not have time for AOC. Okay, let's do Trump.
Do you think we should still be selling them weapons? The United States.
Well, I'm going to have that discussion with President Xi. President Xi would like us not to. And I'll have that discussion. That's one of the many things I'll be talking about. We'll have he and I have gotten along well, other than with COVID. I was just not accepting of what happened with COVID. But other than that, he and I have had, he's a great gentleman. I find him to be an amazing man. And when I say that, the press always says, oh, that's terrible that he called him. He runs 1.4 billion people with a pretty iron fist. He loves his country, I can tell you that. President Xi, I look forward to being there. And if he felt anything, we wouldn't be doing it.
All right. So I did find this to be kind of interesting. And even I must, even when he brings up COVID again, and just to remind you like how bad Donald Trump was on COVID. But he's like, he's even still going with the old narrative about like, I wasn't happy with what they did on COVID. And you're like, dude, it was at a US funded lab. They didn't do anything to us on COVID. We did something to us on COVID. And you are too much of a dumbass to know that. And you kept the guy who funded the lab on the task force as the face of the response to the whole thing for almost a full year. That was you. You were president from March till January of 2021. You know, and so, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. And apparently, I think he just missed his opportunity to throw some charges at Fauci. I saw Rand Paul tweeting about that a whole bunch.
Yep. And also, yeah, protected him. Let him get away with all of it. I mean, I don't know what the... I'm not super familiar with that. I did see that Rand Paul was posting about that. But was this be like... Are they're going under the argument that the auto pen thing doesn't give him the pardon or whatever?
No, they dropped the auto pen. So firstly, the Donald Trump administration dropped the auto pen suit. I think that happened under Pam Bondi. You guys can fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure that was one of the failed efforts of the Donald Trump Justice Department. And then the statute of limitations, I think on Monday, just ran out for getting Fauci for lying for Congress. I'm of the opinion that even if there was a pardon, go ahead, investigate, find him guilty, and let the American people know everything that he's guilty of, and that the last administration was so corrupt that he's not actually going to face any crimes for it, but expose it anyways. Let the people know. I still think that 100%. That's cleansing, and, you know, this guy walked around as a self-congratulatory hero of being the Lord and God of science, ruined people's lives. And I still think there's something to be said for front page on the news. Fauci did this to you, and our government is so corrupt that he won't face any criminal problems. Yeah.
No, yeah, hold a press conference. Go, this is why this is all the evidence we have. This is why we not only would indict him, but we are completely convinced that we would get a conviction in a court of law.
I would go the whole way. I would find him guilty and then pardoned. Like, I would go through the entire process and go, Fauci is found guilty in court of the following. Due to U.S. law, we cannot do anything to him because he was previously pardoned. And let Biden be guilty for pardoning him and him guilty for what he did. And let him never be able to show his face in public again because, you know, everyone hates him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the kind of cool shit this administration could be doing if they weren't owned by Israel. Instead, we got to fight wars for them. Yeah, it really is. It is something. And then, of course, and I'm glad you had sent me this AOC video. I missed this, but it is worth almost like playing this at the end here, because again, this is the reality that we're. You can't full screen. Okay, sure, no problem. But so the thing is here is that, and now of course, Donald Trump ultimately is sending this country back into the hands of the Democrats. And I got to say, man, like, I'm very worried about what's going on right now. But, man, I am very, very concerned about this, Rob. I mean, we kind of know the progressive establishment. We know how much they, like, they hate us. Like, they really hate us. And they really crossed many lines over the last decade. In terms of like interfering in presidential elections, framing the president, censoring Americans, locking people up for, you know, like people talk about, you know, like countries where it's way worse, like in Britain or something like that. But you remember they were going after people who like posted jokes about, remember there was the guy who posted a joke about what time voting was? Or it was something like that. Like it was like, oh, you can vote by text or something like that. To like, and they went after him.
I think he went to jail.
Yeah, I believe he did jail time. Yes, I believe you're right.
Yeah, because they did him dirty and they brought him to a very liberal district in Brooklyn.
No, like that's who very liberals are. Very liberals are the type of people who would fucking, you know, separated me from my children because I wouldn't get them vaccinated. That's the way like a lot of these people are, and it's quite disturbing. But anyway, so here, let's play this AOC clip. Here is, and this is the type of economic populism shit that Donald Trump is pushing the country into. And it's very dangerous. So here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
You can't earn $1 billion.
That's right.
You just can't earn that.
That's exactly correct.
You can, you can get market power. You can break rules. You can do all sorts of things. You can abuse labor laws.
Yep.
You can pay people less than what they're worth.
Yep.
But you can't earn that, right? Since you didn't earn that, you have to create a myth of earning it. You can't earn
Do you know how stupid this is? Do you just know how fucking stupid this is? You can't earn $1 billion. Okay. How much can you earn? Where does it stop? Can I earn $1 million? Can I earn $5 million? Is that possible? Because do you realize how stupid you'd have to be to say you can't earn $5 million, right? Like, if I mean, there are people who are literally, I don't know, doctors, lawyers. There's people who are athletes. Does an athlete not earn his money? Performers, a bunch of people want to come see this guy perform. He earns $5 million. I know a lot of people like that. A lot. So can you earn that? Okay. Well, just imagine you were a bit more successful than you could earn $1 billion. Like, where, what is the limiting principle? Why $1 billion? You just picked a number because it just sounds, it's like a nice even number. Why can't you can't earn $1 billion? Let me ask you something. Can you earn $747,000,047? Like, why are you just saying $1 billion? You can't earn. It's totally arbitrary. And then again, what does it mean to earn anything? This, like, these words, this is what all these leftists do. They treat economics like it's just like what feels good, what feels nice. We kind of like make these concepts up as we go. Like, does a janitor earn his salary when he goes to work every day? Okay, like, why does he earn that? Well, he earns that because he made an agreement with, let's say, the school, if he works at a school, right? He made an agreement with them that I'll clean all the floors if you give me this much money. And he does it, and they do it. So he earned it. That's what we mean. Now, a billionaire who runs a company, this is obviously absent if they're working with the government, in which case, you're right, they didn't earn it. A billionaire, if he's just running a company, he has a big company. They sell products at an agreed upon price. Customers agree to buy them. Employees agree to work for the wages. He keeps the profit. He earned that as much as anybody else did. And what are you going to have a world? Otherwise, what are you saying? Business owners don't earn it? Because why would that just apply to big businesses? Does that apply to small businesses too? Does it just feel nicer when it's small businesses? You root for the little guy and not the big guy? Okay, fine. But did they earn it? Did a mom and pop shop earn the money? Okay, well, if they earned it, then so did the CEO of whatever big company. It's the same principle. It's just larger in scale, but it's not different in kind. And with one notable exception is, like, you know who I would say doesn't earn their money is government employees and people who do business with the government. They get their money from threatening to throw working class people in jail if they don't forcibly give a percentage of their government of their salary to the government. I wouldn't really call that earning it. Man, liberals are the worst.
Yeah. Listen, in this clip, you know, she does talk a bit about government corruption and people kind of manipulating the game, and that there's more favorable terms. And, you know, and I'm all for, you want to go after government corruption, or you want to go after the fact that government actually favors these big business players, and so they have artificial profits that they wouldn't actually make in the market. I'm all for that too. But at the end of the day, if you create something of value, you can absolutely earn $1 billion. That means you created something that's really great and improves a lot of people's lives. So this is, this is cartoonish socialism to just pretend that wealth is unearned and so therefore other people can forcibly take it from you. And, you know, pretending like the game is just complete. The game is rigged because of the government. And so if you can find all the ways the government is making it so businesses can't compete and are actually robbing wealth, I implore you and empower you. Yeah. I'll even vote for you to go do that. But if you just want to say conceptually anyone who's worked hard and made money doesn't deserve that money, and so other people are entitled to it, well, that's not capitalism. And we're all going to suffer for whatever you're trying to implement instead.
Yep. And like always with these like egalitarian systems, it's always being pushed by people who like aren't really in the working class now, are they? Now, I know AOC is not the most corrupt congresswoman, and we'll see where she ends up by the end of her career. But like all of your friends, all the people who work there in Congress with you are just living in the top 1%. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's just like, yeah, you sit there and you rail against all the big guys. Meanwhile, you're not giving away anything that you have. You live a very comfortable lifestyle. And again, like the policies that they end up implementing will always end up hurting the working class guy the most. That's always who ends up paying for this. You know, there's, yeah, it's all just too ridiculous. And just that, yeah, there's no, it's, but again, this is the type of stuff that will become popular. It's like this kind of class warfare stuff when the price of everything is so out of control and people are really struggling to get by. And then you go, ah, it's all these billionaires' fault up here, you know? But like the truth is that the worst thing that the billionaire class has done to the American people is buy off government. You know, this is one of the things that like they really struggle with. But I remember, I remember I used to bring this up all the time in the days when Ron Paul was running for president. And leftists like this, right, like AOC, they would say that like if you were to lower tax, let's say we gave her our economic plan. You're like, hey, we're going to abolish the central bank. We're going to have sound money. We're going to abolish the income tax. We're going to cut government spending by 90%. Like, whatever. This is our plan. She would go, well, then the rich people will take over and the poor people will starve or whatever, right? Like, that's why we need a wealth tax and free schools and free lunches and whatever, okay? And then you'd notice that, like, okay, so every leftist also acknowledges that our government is owned by private interests, right? And so you'd wonder when a guy like Ron Paul runs, when a guy like Thomas Massie runs, why is it that all the big businesses aren't getting way behind that guy? Right? Like, if these businesses are so self-interested and they're so involved in owning our government, wouldn't they be pushing guys like Ron Paul who are slashing the size and scope of government? If private interests own our government, why is our government the biggest government in the history of the world, objectively? Okay, well, maybe it's because that's what they want. Maybe, try to really wrap your head around this concept because it'll blow your mind. But maybe big business loves big government and that's why that's what we get. Because what they're looking for is welfare. That's what big businesses want. We got an epidemic in this country of billionaires on welfare. And so it is somewhat like when you come here and say like, yeah, none of these billionaires earned it. It's like, okay, fair enough. There are actually a lot of billionaires who didn't earn it, right? But the problem isn't that you can't earn $1 billion or that in fact, there's no such thing as a thriving, successful country that doesn't have billionaires. Oh, wait, name me the example. In fact, you need billionaires. You need titans of industry. You need them to not be on welfare is the issue. You need to not have the government rig the system on behalf of them. And guess what? If you have a very limited government, there's not much to rig. So that's what this all comes down to. And this, you know, this like absolute just infantile understanding of economics and like just how a complex economy works that you just think you can. Do you remember the example in New York when she chased, what was it? Amazon, I want to say, out. Do you remember this?
Yep.
So this is what these type of people do. So Amazon was coming up by some, they were going to build some warehouses in Brooklyn, I believe. Maybe it was in the Bronx.
It was in Queens.
It was in Queens.
It was in Astoria, Long Island City.
Was it in Astoria?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that her district too? I know the Bronx.
No, she's in the Bronx, but it was going to be under the track lines, yeah.
So they're coming, and right, it was going to be, so they needed like some government approval, you know, to like come and start building factories. They were going to create like something like, it was like tens of thousands of jobs. It was something like 20, 30,000 jobs, something like that. And they were, a bunch of them were like good jobs. A bunch of them were like 150K a year jobs. And then there were a bunch of just like warehouse jobs. And she made this whole petition about how, no, they can't come because they don't pay their workers enough. And only if they agree to pay their workers X amount will we support them getting approved to come. And then they just went, oh, yeah, no, we can't pay that. And they just didn't come. So she just literally cost them like tens of thousands of jobs to the city because she insisted they got to pay more. I'll show you, says AOC. And then just got, so that's what actually happens, is that some real person who lives in Queens who's desperately searching for a job doesn't get one now because you knew better for him. Man, it makes me angry. Now, every time I got to hear AOC, I got to just get angry at Trump for increasing her odds of being the future. Anyway, all right, let's wrap it up on that. See you guys in Toronto. That's next up for me. Yeah, catch you next time. Peace.